What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, October 9th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And welp, everybody, we did it. We made it. We are officially back in the regular work week after the bye in the past, let's be honest, 7-8 days of silence from the team. Of course, it's never boring with the Eagles, but today we will be back in the NovaCare complex and we will be getting all the usual good stuff from the team as the work week for the Cleveland Browns officially kicks off. I know I said it probably officially started on Monday, but let's be real. It really starts today with a full practice from the team, a Nick Sirianni press conference, and a Jalen Hurts press conference. So let's get into it and tell you what to keep an eye out for today. On the schedule, Nick Sirianni will speak to the media for the first time since the bye week. We'll hear, I'm sure, about what he learned about the team during his bye week, what his evaluation of the team was. I'm sure he'll just let us know everything. And by that, I mean he will say he's not going to let us know everything. But maybe we'll get some hints on what he learned about the team after him and his staff spent, you know, the last week and a half doing an evaluation of the team. And that will be at 12:05. So make sure at around 12:05 you are by your phone where you can stream it on 94WIP or follow along on Twitter with all your favorites tweets. So 12:05, Nick Sirianni. 2:10, the locker room opens, a chance to talk to the players, which is always good. Get some videos, some quotes from there. So 2:10, the locker room opens. 3:05, practice begins. I do think there's a shot we will hear from Devontae Lane and AJ today. So I would definitely at 2:10 make sure you're around your phone to check that out. But at 3:05, the expectation is, of course, that AJ, Devontae, and Lane will all be out on the practice field. So it'll be good to see them back out there with the team. And then 4:45, right around the Phillies game, tough timing for the press conference, but Jalen Hurts will speak to the media. So that is what is on the schedule for Wednesday. Nick Sirianni, 12:05, locker room 2:10, practice 3:05, Jalen Hurts at 4:45. Right during the Phillies game or right around it. So make sure you check out those Jalen press conference tweets in between all the Phillies updates. Nothing on the injury report today. You know, we'll see coming out of the bye week when the team practices on Wednesday if there were any injuries we're unaware of. Nothing there, though, to report. The one quick thing I'll say is there was a picture circulating on Tuesday of linebacker Patrick Johnson practicing in the team's facility. The Eagles posted a bunch of pictures on their Facebook, had Jalen Carter, Cooper DeJean, you know, a bunch of Darius Slay, N'Kobe Dean, and in there was Patrick Johnson. So checked in on it. Patrick Johnson is not back on the team. He is still on the Giants. That was a mistake made by the team social. Hey, we all make mistakes when it comes to posting. So all good, but just wanted to let you guys know that just in case you saw it and assumed he was back on the team. Patrick Johnson, not back on the team. So let's get into a few things that happened on Tuesday that you might have missed and relate to the Eagles. So I am sure you did not miss this one. This was the big news in the NFL on Tuesday. The New York Jets firing head coach Robert Saleh. The Jets, of course, have been a disappointment this year. Really been a disappointment for the past however many years you want to pick. I don't think they've been in the playoffs in like 15 years. So have been a disappointment for a really long time. But Robert Saleh never made the playoffs during his time with the Jets. Not really a firing you can rip into too much. You know, I think you can certainly parse blame. Like Joe Douglas is the one that brings in the quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback that brought in his own offensive coordinator. The Jets defense has been really good under Robert Saleh. That goes to Joe Douglas for bringing in great players, but also Robert Saleh deserves credit from that. But bottom line, if you're a head coach for 4 years and you don't make the playoffs, it's hard to defend, or I should say 3 years, it's hard to defend you know, you being fired as unfair. That being said, what does this have to do with the Eagles? So it's twofold. One, I would have a ton of interest if I were the Eagles on contacting Robert Saleh and see if he has interest in being a special assistant for the defense. I think Robert Saleh is a really good defensive coordinator. He's proven that during his time in the league. I still think he's a really good defensive mind. You saw that during his time with the Jets. I know he wasn't the coordinator, but he is a defensive mind as a head coach and certainly had a lot to do with it. Now, they had great players, but I would love to see Robert Saleh, you know, develop Quinyon Mitchell, much like he did Sauce Gardner. I'd love to see him back in the building working with Bryce Huff after what he was able to get out of Bryce Huff last year on the Jets defense and see if he can recreate that with the Eagles. Now, Peter Schrager of the NFL Network is reporting that Robert Saleh is not going to be taking a position on a team staff this year. He wants to take some time, take a vacation, and prepare for next year. We'll see if a check from Jeffrey Lurie can change his mind. A call from Nick Sirianni, who I know they have a good relationship. They've done joint practices in the past. I know they're friendly. I would certainly try. The defense has not been good enough where Vic Fangio is above bringing in some help. Again, Robert Saleh has gotten a lot out of Bryce Huff, and Robert Saleh is a really good defensive mind. Plus, not to mention, they got a lot of AFC opponents coming up. The Jaguars, the Jets, they have the Browns this week. They're going to have the Ravens later in the season. I do think that having Robert Saleh in the building, look, maybe if it's even just him passing on his notes, maybe if it's, you know, him talking to Bryce Huff or talking to Vic Fangio about what how they could get more out of Bryce Huff, I think it would make a ton of sense. Look, if he doesn't want to do it, he doesn't want to do it. But I think it's definitely something the Eagles should look into, and I think it would be a really smart move for the organization. But the other real takeaway from the firing of Robert Saleh is this. Ultimately, you can spin it however you want. You can hope it works out. You can say you don't have to be best friends. If the head coach and the quarterback do not get along or are not on the same page, or frankly, don't have a good relationship, it is not going to work for your team. I know people point to Belichick and Tom Brady, how they didn't get along. Tom Brady's the best quarterback of all time. And it's much like when people point out the interceptions with Patrick Mahomes. Just because Mahomes throws interceptions doesn't mean it's okay. It just means Mahomes is a great player despite throwing a lot of interceptions. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady were able to win despite not having a great relationship. It's a unique situation. For the most part, much like any working place, you want the most important people in the building to be on the same page and get along. And it was clear that Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh did not get along. And that is why, 5 games into the season, Saleh is gone. If they had a great relationship, I don't think Robert Saleh would be gone. If Rodgers gave support to Robert Saleh, I don't think Saleh would be gone. Oh, Jets owner Woody Johnson talked about how he spoke with Aaron Rodgers on Monday night. Of course, they didn't talk about it, quote unquote, but we all know they did. And we all know Aaron Rodgers probably said that they should fire him. So the Jets went into the season knowing that their head coach and quarterback didn't really get along, and they still went into the year with that relationship, and look how it worked out. They're firing him after 5 games, and the team has been a disappointment. So how does this relate to the Eagles? I don't know if the relationship between Saleh and Rodgers is similar or as bad, or is worse, I should say, than the one between Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. I don't think that it's like awkward in the building at all times between Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. I don't think that they have a relationship that's so bad that they can't still have success. But what it does show that in New York, in a, you know, a media market, not as tough as Philly, but a media market where there's a lot of attention, right? The clip of Aaron Rodgers pushing Robert Saleh like in a joking way on the sideline, then he's asked about it, like then now a clip comes out about how he's talking about he wishes he could fire his head coach. Like, ultimately, if your head coach and quarterback don't have each other's back in a very true, real way, it is going to be very hard to succeed as a franchise. Jalen can be a great quarterback if he stops turning the ball over. Nick can be a great head coach if the team's attention to detail and gets better and they stop making silly mistakes. To quote Tim McManus's article he wrote in training camp where it said, you know, you're never going to see him going out to dinner. Maybe they don't have to get dinner together. But if you're going to talk about winning a Super Bowl and not just, you know, tripping your way into the playoffs and beating enough bad teams that you can maybe win an NFC East with a rookie quarterback and a bad Dallas Cowboys team, to achieve more than that and to, you know, be a true special team, you have to have the best and most important part of your team on the same page. And the Jets are showing that while Rodgers might be cooked and maybe Saleh's not a great head coach and there are other things going on there, the relationship between the head coach and the quarterback is important. The Jets tried to get through it and say that it wasn't important and, you know, just see if it could work out. And it didn't. I mean, it just doesn't normally work out when the two people at the top of your franchise don't get along. This is a different situation, but look at Larry Brown and Allen Iverson from way back in the day. Until they got on the same page, and until Allen was yelling, you know, where's my coach at? And until they had that shout, that, you know, that meeting with Pat Croce where they had to yell at each other, but they hugged at the end. The Sixers didn't win. And then the Sixers, after they got on the same page, went to the NBA Finals. And now Allen Iverson and Larry Brown have a great relationship. It is important that Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts have a good relationship. The firing of Robert Saleh proves that. And frankly, every single sporting thing you can think of a championship team, that you need to get along, your head coach and quarterback need to get along. So when the Jets fired Robert Saleh and Aaron Rodgers clearly won the battle between the two, clearly won the power struggle, yeah, the first thing I thought of was, it's not a great sign for the Eagles. And we have talked in depth and ad nauseum, obviously, and we'll keep doing it because we love doing it, but about Jalen's play this year and about how Nick can be better. And I have a thought in a minute for about Nick as a head coach. But man, they really, really, maybe they need that shouted out moment like Larry Brown and Allen Iverson. Because I just, when I saw Saleh get fired, the first thing I thought was, this feels like it's where it's the direction it's heading with Nick, because you can't have the two most important people in the building not on the same page. So speaking of Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, I'll have a recommendation for you guys, because I watched, I've been long watched his videos, but The QB School by JT O'Sullivan. You should look it up. You should check it out. He posts some videos for free. He also has a Patreon where it's awesome. Like, I think it's $5 a month. It's well worth the money. Former NFL quarterback, played with a bunch of different teams, was in the league for a few years, but he really breaks down the game, right? Like, he will play each play three times, explain what he thinks he's seeing, what he thinks should have happened. Now, like most NFL analysts, he's not in the building, right? So he doesn't have like the full context of what's going on, but he does a really good job explaining it. So the quarterback school, I would highly recommend it. During the bye week, I had the chance to watch his breakdown of Jalen and the Eagles versus Tampa Bay. And let me tell you, as much as I truly believe the quarterback and the turnovers is the problem, I have never heard JT O'Sullivan laugh at a team the way he was laughing at the Eagles. Like, the mistakes, the play calling, the accuracy, the decision making, the sloppiness, the missed blocks, the poorly run routes. He ripped the Eagles team to shreds for their performance against Tampa Bay. Is he 100% accurate? No, no one truly is, right? Like, it's just his opinion. But watching that tape and watching Johnny Wilson whiff on blocks in the red zone, watching Dallas Goedert whiff on blocks in the running game, watching Grant Calcaterra whiffing on a block that would have made a screenplay to Jahan Dotson a much bigger gain, watching Jalen Hurts miss guys over the middle, watching Fred Johnson really struggle, watching Kenny Gainwell really struggle in pass protection, watching receivers running routes on the same side of the field where it looks like they're going to run into each other. He really painted the picture of a team that is in disarray right now and that is not performing at a high level. Now, again, it's just one person's opinion. But when I watch that tape, it does not look to me like a team that is playing clean football and that can be really picked to beat any team by any significant margin. Now, they will get A.J. Brown and Devontae back. And getting Lane back means Fred Johnson won't be out there. And Fred Johnson not being out there means the protection will be better. And the protection being better means it'll be easier to get to the ball to the receiver. And the receivers being A.J. Brown instead of John Ross is going to be a really big deal. So maybe just getting A.J., Devontae, and Lane is the key to everything. But when you look at all the little mistakes this team is making and how, you know, the decisions the quarterback is making, it goes back to what I was just talking about. The Eagles need better performance from their quarterback and their head coach. I do think Nick is a great head coach, and I do think Jalen has it in him to be a great quarterback, but neither is operating at a great level right now, and it's really, really hurting the team. Nick can talk about fundamentals and focusing on things and playing smart football. It just doesn't show up on tape, and it didn't show up on tape against Tampa Bay. So I said it on yesterday's Daily Pod. I'll reiterate it today. In order for this team to truly go on a run, it has to start now. on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. They have to play a clean football against the football game against the Browns. Then they have to go do it against the Jets. Then they have to do it against the Jaguars. Then they have to do it against the Bengals. The combined record of the next four opponents are 5-15. And I know the Bengals are better than their record at 1-4, but this has to be a 3-1 stretch. But honestly, throw the record out of it for a second. They need to just put 60 minutes of clean football together. And I would encourage all of you guys to go watch JT O'Sullivan's breakdown of that Tampa Bay game, because it really does not look like a team that is prepared to go on a run. Again, and I don't think he did it in a mean way, but I've watched a lot of his breakdowns, all the Eagles ones, other teams. I've never heard him laugh at a team the way he laughed at the Eagles, especially that opening series. Like, a miss on Jalen to the Saquon touchdown. A really bad miss block that allows Jalen to be sacked. Like, some of the play calling. I mean, it was bad. So I would highly recommend you guys go and watch it. And I'd be really curious, all you real ones, after you go and watch it, to hear what you think about it. So, yeah, not good. Not good at all. So, on the other side, we are going to get into our continued preview of the Eagles matchup against the Browns and talk about the Eagles offensive line versus the Browns defensive line. But first, a word from our sponsor. Okay, so as I just mentioned, Lane Johnson should be back on Sunday against Cleveland. And that is obviously a big deal, because when the Eagles have their starting five offensive line, they've been really good this year. I think they've done a pretty good job protecting Jalen. I think they've been good enough against the blitz in terms of communicating and not letting Jalen, just get absolutely torched from a pressure perspective every game. I think that both units could be better with it, for sure. Jalen has allowed a lot of pressure himself. We talked about that on yesterday's pod. And I think the offensive line in general at the bye week report card, Landon could probably play better. Mekhi Becton's had some bad snaps, but Lane, Mailata, and Cam Jurgens have all been awesome. So, unlike in preseason, and I'll put my hand up and say I was wrong, there are most weeks that we're going to preview the offensive line versus a defensive line and say the Eagles have the advantage. And that is the case this week against the Cleveland Browns. So let's dive into the Browns defensive line, give you a little breakdown on who they have, what the stats look like, and what to expect from a matchup perspective. So obviously, when discussing the Browns, the first name you think of is Myles Garrett, and that's a name you think of when just thinking about the best players in the NFL, regardless of position, but especially among edge rushers. And Myles Garrett has been, once again, really, really good this year. Myles Garrett has 15 hurries, 4 sacks, 4 hits, still performing at a really high level. So despite Cleveland not being a good team, Myles Garrett has been really, really good. The rest of the edges, decent. They have Za'Darius Smith, obviously been a pretty good player in this league for a long time. 6 hurries, 3 sacks in 5 games, still good production. You can see why the Browns are ranked 3rd in PFF grade for their pass rush, and then they're 12th in sacks. Like, they do get pretty good pressure on the quarterback, and that starts with Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith on the outside. So they have 2 pretty good edge rushers. Now, the good news is the Eagles have 2 very good tackles. Myles Garrett, he does move around a little bit. So far this season, 160 of his snaps have been on the right side, 47 of his snaps have been on the left side. So he will move around, but predominantly plays on that right side. Now, if he's lining up on the right side of the field on the defense, that means he should be going up against Eagles' left tackle in Jordan Mailata. So, not an easy matchup for Mailata by any stretch. I'd expect the Eagles to potentially give him a little bit of help there on that side. But I think you'll see Myles Garrett go up against Lane as well, because he has lined up on the left side as well, which will put him up against the right tackle in Lane. So tough matchup for the Eagles tackles, for sure. Myles Garrett's really, really good. Going to be important for Jalen Hurts to know pre-snap where Myles Garrett is. But even the tackle that's not going against Garrett's going to have a pretty tough matchup in Za'Darius Smith. So getting the ball out quickly, winning on the offensive tackles on the outside, going to be really key to getting the ball moving for the Eagles on offense. Now, the interior, well, actually quickly, The backup edges on the Browns are not that good. They're not a team that has the guys to rotate in and out like the Eagles have in past years. So I really would only worry about Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith on the outside for those edge rushers. Now, the defensive tackles, They have, you know, decent defensive tackles. So Shelby Harris, 5 hurries in 5 games, 1 quarterback hit, no sacks. Quentin Jefferson, 4 hurries, 1 hit, 1 sack. And then Dalvin Tomlinson, 4 hurries, 2 hits, and 2 sacks. So 3 sacks in their defensive tackle position is certainly nothing to just completely look past. I mean, especially if you're the Eagles, you definitely can't look at 3 sacks from the defensive tackle position and act like that's absolutely nothing. 8 hurries from those, 13 hurries, still pretty good. A handful of quarterback hits. Like, the interior of the line is pretty good too. So somewhat of a tough matchup there for Landon Dickerson, Mekhi Becton, and Cam Jurgens. So overall, a good defensive line for the Browns. If you were to say to me, how are they going to end up beating the Eagles on Sunday, which to be clear would be a complete disaster, it would start with the pressure up front. If they can put pressure on Jalen Hurts, we've seen this year that Jalen Hurts under pressure will make bad decisions that lead to turnovers. And one thing the Browns will do is they will blitz, and they'll do it with their linebackers. So linebacker Jeremiah Usau-Koramoa, I apologize for mispronouncing that, has rushed the passer 42 times this year. He has 8 hurries and 1 sack, so he will get after the quarterback. Jordan Hicks didn't play versus Washington, but he's been pretty good this year. 20 pass rush snaps, 1 hurry, 2 hits, and 1 sack. And then Devin Bush, who did play quite a bit against Washington because Jordan Hicks was out, has only played 13 pass rush snaps this year, 5 hurries, 0 hits. So as we know, defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz will bring pressure up the middle. He is a coordinator that likes to blitz. On the year, they are 7th in the league in blitzes, and the 6th overall ranked defense per Pro Football Focus, and that does begin with their pass rush. So I still give the Eagles offensive line the edge here. I just think when you have Lane back, Mailata, like, you have to trust your tackles. And if you can negate Myles Garrett, as good as the other players are, Myles Garrett is a player that, and we've seen, a Jeff Statlin offensive line is very, very good at shutting down one individual player on an opposing defensive line. So that'll be the preview of that matchup. Like I said, I'll give the Eagles the edge there, which is a big deal. When you have an offensive line that has the edge over the opposing defensive line, you should be able to move the ball, and the Eagles should be able to move the ball on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. So thank you guys to everybody for listening. Truly means the world to me that you guys choose to spend your morning listening to me talk about the Eagles. And as we say to end every pod, and as we always say, he's Elliot, I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.